Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Salem Media Group, the station, or its advertisers. Live from Northern California, it's Lifeline with Jesse Gastan. He's the host of Way of Grace, a pastor and a community leader. He's a teacher and an inspiration. He's Lifeline's own Jesse Gastan.
Well, I want to welcome you to another Monday edition of Lifeline. As you heard from the announcer, Jesse Gastan, pastor of Grace Bible Church, in the house with you on this Monday, March 3rd, 2025. A whole lot to talk about, a whole lot to reflect upon, a whole lot to consider. And so again, welcome to the Monday edition of Lifeline. I said this in the opening of our commentary last week. It's true that President DJ Trump has been engaging in lightning speed activity in terms of policies, legacy. Yes, legacy. He only has about 4 years to get it done. But we are watching some phenomenal events that are easily understood in terms of prophetic proportions, biblical proportions, globally, and not just within the sphere of a sort of narrow Western Christian worldview, if I might argue that also. But the things that have transpired over the last couple of days are worth talking about, particularly the meeting that Mr. Trump and Vice President Vance had with Zelensky in the Oval Office. And what strikes me very curious, if I were to organize a number of important things in that session, it would be, here we go again with the media misrepresenting what's going on in such a way that it's distorting reality and blinding the average American to what really the facts are on the ground that led to that open display of utter conflict, variance, and to some degree, antipathetic anger between the Trump administration and President Zelensky, if that's what you want to call him. And I'm thinking about how do I set the table for our discourse today for it to be helpful. I think I want to reiterate a drum I've been beating for a long time. If you make the legacy media your gospel, then you're deceived and you're hopelessly distracted and led the wrong way in terms of really what's going on here. If you have a scintilla of interest to know what's really taking place, the first thing you must do is put on a filter of an anti-legacy media, anti-CIA, governmental deep state narrative that always determines how both the media on the left and the media on the right are going to spoon feed you versions and interpretations of what you hear and see. It's going to just constantly keep you divided between left and right. And that's to the benefit of your party media, your media governmental complex system drawn up to keep the American people dumb, stupid, and enslaved to taxation for their global agendas. I really do mean that. And the last person that should be blinded, but often are the first, are naive Christians who really think they're in the know, but don't do the hard work of vetting what they are watching. Now, we live in the 21st century with a level of technology never, ever before given to us where you can look at a singular subject such as, CBS News or MSNBC or CNN or Fox News, any presentation given to you by the legacy media, and you can have it analyzed by 1,000 different independent sources who are as credible as the people that are sitting there with the makeup on, smiling while they're lying to you, okay? Just smiling faces, right? Show no traces, right? while they lie to you and tell you how to feel, particularly how to feel, because we're still dealing with this kind of postmodern, irrational feel before you think and feel as you say or say before you even understand what's going on. This is just your Pavlov's dog theory of whistleblowing to keep you divided, keep you hating people you don't even know, keep you on a wartime scenario politically in terms of worldview, sociologically, as an adversary of people that you have never even met. And so, you know, Putin bad and Biden good, or Trump bad and Biden good, Kamala good, or Trump good and Biden bad. When all of that could be true, but do you know why? Do you know why? Well, what took place on, I like to say Friday, a few days ago, I had a chance to just give a snippet of my observation of it to my congregation in the Friday night Bible study, because we have been following these issues very carefully. And I share with them the nature of politics at the negotiating table motif out of the book of Daniel. And I'm going to read a portion of that to you now. And after the break, I'm going to go into an analysis of what's taking place as a consequence of the curtains being pulled back. We call that in Greek grammar, the truth. Aletheia is the truth, the disclosing of what really is. And what you saw with the fiasco of Zelensky in the presence of Trump and Vance and their triad of discourse was all about pulling the curtains back and showing the American people what really goes on behind the scenes, apart from all of the nice platitudes and decorum and cordial back and forth. That is not the real world. That is the fake world of diplomacy. What goes on behind the scenes is what you saw. And so what does your media do? Like a bunch of hungry, cravenous fish, you know, predatorial fish. I'm trying to think of, well, it'll come back to me a little later, just wanting to gobble up flesh and chew it up and spit it out to you, turning you into pariahs, into piranhas, the fish that love eating flesh. And so the idea is that we're going to give them something to be upset about, mad about, angry about, divisive about, and so forth and so on. Is the way the media works with you and I and the world. And very seldom is what they're saying even corresponding with reality on the ground. And hence the magic show, the Truman Show, the lies that distort. Here's what Daniel chapter 11 says about the way policy works. Now, this is coming from a fifth century prophecy by Daniel himself as he was asserting what would be taking place in the end of the Alexandrian Empire dominion 300 years before Christ, at the time when its kingdom was broke up into four parts. And we are looking at a passage of scripture that addresses two kings, the king of the south and the king of the north. And in this context, this would be Antiochus Epiphanes against the Ptolemy kingdom in Egypt. Listen to this language and we'll unpack it more fully on the other side. And I'll share with you that nothing has changed in our world, particularly around warmongering policy conflicts and their strategies to advance their own powers. And both of these kings' hearts, this is Daniel 11:27, and both of these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief. That's what I feel about all monarchical, tyrannical, despotic, even so-called democratic leadership. At the end of the day, it's mischief. And they shall speak lies at one table. Did you get that? They shall speak lies at one table. This is what was going on then, and it goes on now. The whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. And so if you're thinking that you're getting the unadulterated truth anytime that our politicians speak, largely not. It has to be curated. It has to be controlled. It has to be governed and shaded based upon the administration's interest and filtered to us in a way that doesn't alarm us if they have enough insight as to the particular bents and views of the American people. This is true around the world. Most of what you see with politics in front of cameras is a show. Listen to this. They shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed. This is exactly what Daniel wrote, having seen it. And what God was saying to Daniel was, you'll watch them lie, you'll watch them manipulate, you'll watch them engage in different policies. This will be disheartening to some, this will be emboldening to others. But God is sovereign and his will is going to be done. And may we be given eyes to see and ears to hear, understand exactly what's going on. So after the break, I'll share a little bit of insight with you from how I see what happened when God pulled the curtains back and let the world see this buffoon, and his name is Zelensky, try to pull the wool over the eyes of the president and the vice president. This is the Monday edition of Lifeline. Your host, Jesse Gistan, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
And now back to Lifeline.
All right, we're back. The time is 5:20 on the Monday edition of Lifeline. It did not start this last Friday, something like the 28th or 29th of February. It didn't start on Friday. This argument and this conflict between Trump and Zelensky did not start on Friday. This started way before Friday, just like October 7th. It just didn't start on October 7th, just like 2001, September 1st. It didn't just start. 9/11 didn't just start that day. You and I are learning these things because we have a massive independent media outlet where brave men and women are telling the truth, and we can contextualize why things occur. What happened with Zelensky was that he thought he could go into the Oval Office and sit with Donald J. Trump, President Donald J. Trump, and with Vance, and strong-armed them into a policy agreement that, one, could have never, ever worked out. Two, would have set Zelensky up for levels of sustained ongoing wealth confiscation, and would have drawn us into World War III with Russia and others just by our very presence there, with disregard to what has happened going all the way back to 2014. So what you get in the media are these talking points like Russia invaded Ukraine, Russia invaded Ukraine, Russia invaded Ukraine. They're just a dictatorial country that invaded Ukraine. And yet, the media is castigating Donald Trump for recognizing some things that were going on that actually provoked Russia to invade Ukraine, provoked Russia to what is called a preemptive strike. I've often said this, and I said it in our Friday study using an analogy. If I don't see you punch my neighbor, but I only watch my neighbor punch you back, and then you cry and hue and opine that my neighbor hit you, when you're not contextualizing the event. I may have seen my neighbor hit you, but the question is, why did he hit you? And nobody wants to talk about this, because what we're dealing with right now is the continued efforts of the deep state to not only dismantle the agenda of the president, but to set him up for a dismal failure, if not a third opportunity to assassinate him. So what am I talking about? Vladimir Zelensky is he's a character. He's an actor. He's not a real president. He's a clown. In fact, if you guys don't know, excuse me, I got some of this beautiful chocolate running down my throat and suggesting that I shouldn't be talking. If you don't know, that's exactly what he was before he was placed into the position as president by a coup against the former president, Petro Poroshenko, as many people know was the case. back in 2014. And as a consequence, what we are looking at is a puppet president who is trying to act like he is Winston Churchill. And all of your left-leaning media, not just in America, but around the world, you guys already found out when the Government for Efficiency, when DOGE, Department of Government for Efficiency, exposed USAID for using billions of dollars to set up propaganda machines all around the world, not just in America, but all around the world. You and I are dealing with propaganda here. And I'm going to try to make it more personal in terms of how this impacts Donald Trump, but I'm sure his administration knows this, and that's this. This is all about Joe Biden, his family, Hunter Biden, the Obamas, okay, Hillary Clinton, and all of the deep state that was engaged in money laundering, all kinds of uncouth business deals that took place. And Ukraine was the center of a lot of this activity for many oligarchs around the world. Ukraine has been a hotspot for many years for the deep state and your warmongering hawks to want to instigate a third world war with Russia. And it's why you keep hearing all these talking points going all the way back, to Hillary Clinton's attempt to become president. She lost to Donald Trump in 2016. And when she lost, she was surprised because she wanted to be the one that was going to move us into the New World Order, because that's part of the goal of the larger globalist agenda that is part of the deep state, that is viscerally hostile to Mr. Donald J. Trump, all of them on the left, and many of the snakes running in the Republican Party, the rhinos. I can tell you that now. Lindsey Graham is nothing but a rhino, and many others like him. They would have been totally fine if Kamala Harris would have become president. They would have been totally fine if Joe Biden could have kept his mental capacities instead of losing his mind. But before Joe Biden lost his mind, he poured into Ukraine all kinds of money and resources to move the line towards global war with Russia. This was a lengthy period of provocation that forced Russia to step in to create the conflict to stave off the Ukrainians, and not the people on the ground, sadly, but the criminal element in the government in Ukraine, connected to our government in Washington, and largely, again, the Obamas, the Bidens, and others who were attached to that whole policy, Blinken and others. All right. Donald Trump wins again, but only by escaping two bullets that I now recognize most likely came not only from the CIA, but also from the deep state. That Biden would have been fine with Donald Trump being executed. Kamala Harris, Obama, Blinken, all of them, because Donald Trump was for peace and not war around the world. Now, this is an anomaly, because it just seems like if you go back, you know, 40, 50 years, for me, 60 something years, the last president that was absolutely committed to peace was assassinated. You know who I'm talking about. And the only other president that really came close to another assassination, I'm not saying that it didn't happen to Reagan and other little snippets with other presidents, I you know, from what I read, but largely they really wanted to try to get Trump. Why? Because the deep state is so avarice, so greedy, so hawkish, so given to a war mentality because of its desire to maintain Western hegemony over the world, that it was playing deep state politics in Ukraine. The other thing is, when Zelensky came into the White House the other day, he had already started making backdoor deals before he got to the White House. Before he arrived at the White House, he was making deals with Schumer and other Democrats. He was making deals with NATO. He was making deals with Macron. He was making deals with Farmer. He was making deals with a lot of the left liberal NATO leadership to stifle any capacity on the part of Donald Trump to have control over what's happening in that area of the world. Now, you know, Mr. Trump, his policy was stopping the war in Ukraine, stopping the war in Palestine, right? That was his whole promise. He is committed to that. But he really had to start focusing in on the Ukraine thing, because the Ukraine thing was the start of the deep state going after Donald Trump with the fake Russian laptop issue. With the fake Russian laptop issue, of which, thankfully, now we have Mr. Trump skillful enough after 4 years of presidency and 4 years of the what they call warfare of the Department of Justice trying to put him under the jail. He's figured this thing out, ladies and gentlemen. He's figured this thing out. And therefore, when he came into to Washington this time, he's got people planted in the most strategic areas of our institutions to take them down and to nullify the deep state from being able to stop what he wants to do. That's why he did a blitz on all of these executive orders. This is why he's moving in the direction of making peace with Putin. This is why he moved in the direction of dealing with the Saudis in relationship to Gaza, so that our brothers and sisters in Gaza would not be a set of collateral damages as millions of people are in the areas of Ukraine. Now, why are all these people dying? Because of the hawks. The hawks. Human beings who don't care about other human beings. Power dynamics, people in positions of power, people who are benefiting from the death of men and women at the behest of war, which you and I should never, ever affirm or agree with, particularly if you're a Christian. All human beings are precious in God's sight. Donald Trump has basically asserted that he's going to be the president of peace. That means a lot of heads are going to roll and a lot of people are going to be offended. And your deep state is going after him significantly right now because he's actually doing the right things to get it done. I've got more to talk about, then we can have a conversation about it on the Monday edition of Lifeline. You're listening to Jesse Gistin. Got to take a break. Got to pay some bills. I'll be right back.
And now back to Lifeline.
All right, we're back. I'm thinking a bald eagle, I was told on Friday, will do it. An osprey will do it. Even a very aggressive, maybe a large, very powerful owl will do it. I'm thinking about the symbol, you guys, that's needed to emit a kind of graphic picture of what it's going to take to destroy all of the warmongering, foolish people in our nation. All of the warmongering, foolish people in our nation that live in a kind of surreal world of maybe media technology, maybe war games, video games, where they don't really care about human beings. So I'm going to start kind of right there and then kind of work our way out into a much more objective analysis. You know, Trump said, you know, he's not for war. He's not for war. And that's so antithetical to our presidents, because they have been set up by the deep state to be basically monarchical emperors and to take up a global agenda that's fundamentally Department of Defense war strategy for long-term goals. And of course, war really is about money. It always is. And that is the case as well for both Ukraine as well as Gaza. If you take the people out, you still got resources in the ground, resources in the water, resources in the oil over there in Palestine. We already know that. We've had that conversation. I've shared that with you before. So when you listen to your politicians talking about, you know, dealing with this from a humanitarian standpoint or dealing with this from a conflict-oriented standpoint, no, NATO, America, feels like it can go into people's country and destroy and confiscate their natural resources. But our world is changing radically. And because of that, we are discovering that that won't work anymore. One big reason is that we're more capable of being informed, even though we're being flooded combinatorially. You just have to learn how to discern and filter out the news so that you can organize yourself around some information that can give you some grounding in what's really going on. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Figure out that your mainstream media, when its mouth moves, they are talking from the same fundamental funnel of talking point narratives. They have a curated news agency system by which they all say the same things, either on the left or on the right. And so that you need to broaden your peripheral observation skills by looking at other resources that will give you greater insights or a nuanced interpretations of the same old flatlined left-right narrative. So again, getting back to Trump, Trump makes it out of a kind of John F. Kennedy fate by providence. And now he's the president. What does he have to do? Not just what he wants to do. What does he have to do? He has to go after his enemies. He just has to. He's not going to do 4 years well at all if he pretends that Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Obama and even the old tired presidents, Bush and the rest of them, Cheney, Gore, they're sitting there almost, you know, corpses themselves. But he knows that they all were going after him, not because he's on the right, because he's not really on the right, not because he's not on the left, because he's obviously not on the left, but because he's not a warmongering president in the name of Jesus, wanting to kill people, trying to fulfill prophecy. He's not like that. Now, I know he's attached to BB, but he doesn't like BB either. The reality is that Donald Trump has seen the unprincipled hypocrisy of both the left and the right. And he's seen that the power dynamics, you know, pulling the strings of global destabilization and global trajectory and global dominance are all in the White House. All of these advocacy groups are in the White House. And he's seen how his own Republican Party has betrayed him over and over and over again. And he's seen how diabolical the left is, how delusional and diabolical the left is. Trump has been explicit in his testimony about the delusion of leftist DEI, LGBTQIZ politics for a long time. He's not actually tagged the Zionism yet, but he may once he extricates himself from Bibi Netanyahu, because he knows Bibi Netanyahu has pulled the strings of presidents for years. Netanyahu doesn't like Trump. Trump doesn't like Netanyahu. Netanyahu would have been fine if Kamala Harris would have won. Joe Biden did whatever Netanyahu wanted, and Joe Biden supported vigorously the war that's in Ukraine, because they're warmongering hawks that need to be devoured by some bald eagle. Does the eagle have to be bald, y'all? Can the eagle just have some hair, maybe even red hair, to devour all of the unprincipled, uncouth, demonically inspired hawks that wants to take us to World War III, thinking that World War III will get us into the New World Order in 2030, because that's why all this mess is taking place. But God is intervening. God is intervening. There's no doubt about it. God is intervening. But you got to be careful not to be trapped by the left-right narrative. So when Zelensky ran up into the White House thinking that he had pulled the wool over Vance's eyes and over Trump's eyes by already having a conversation with the Democrats, already talking with Chuck Schumer, already talking with Macron, already talking with Farmer or Starmer, whoever he is, the prime minister of the UK, both of them kissing Donald Trump's butt when they came. Because they're just, I heard an interview today on Valuetainment with Patrick, David, Bett, and Tate. And Tate was getting at it as well. And Tate basically admitted that when it comes to Europe, when it comes to the UK, when it comes to the European Union, They are as over-the-top, effeminate as you can get. And America is headed that way. And an effeminate country cannot sustain any kind of noble dominance around the world. And that's why I told you that when Kamala Harris tried to run over to Africa a couple of years ago, in the midst of our diabolical fog of war, a consequence of the scamdemic and this biological warfare that was imposed upon us, that came from China, but started in South Carolina under Fauci. We've been knowing this. That's all coming out. It already came out in RFK Jr.'s book. She went over there to Africa and tried to tell them that she'll give them $60 billion if they become whores for the LGBTQDEI agenda. And our African brothers and sisters said no. They have their roots in the true and the living God. They have their roots in a biblical worldview when it comes to the Imago Dei and the distinction between men and women, and they're holding their ground. But not Europe. Europe is as freaky, as Truman Show, as distorted, as vilely wicked. This is what you saw in the Macron games this year, the Summer Olympics, filled with this burlesque, grotesque, perversion of the Lord's table, which the Pope approved of, by the way. So what you're dealing with in Washington, and by the way, did you know that there is a vile presentation of Zelensky on stage with a bunch of men in a burlesque type of perverted YMCA homosexual gesturing activity. Did you know that? You can find it. And here, I want you to get this. Trump knows it. Vance knows it. They know they're sitting there with a CIA plant, a Biden-approved plant, a Kamala Harris-approved plant, an Obama-approved plant, who pretends to be a president. Now, Trump has to go along because he can't play all of his cards out front. But when he told Zelensky, listen, dude, you don't have a leg to stand on. Zelensky is thinking that he could act his way into a two-party deal between NATO, the European Union, because they already supported him and said that they wanted to get in and get the rights at the mineral resources in Ukraine. And then he was going to come over here and get the backing of the United States with Trump. Well, Trump has a natural impulse for the BS that's going on, and he's pulling us back gradually from any kind of overt, excessive connection with the EU. Now, y'all need to settle down. You need to settle down because some relationships are not good. And I've said it before, there are expiration dates on all relationships. Some relationships are not good. We can survive without being part of NATO. We can survive without being part of the EU, particularly when Trump was the only one said it. We seem to be spending all the money and they sit back and enjoy the lap of luxury while they are plundering other nations and confiscating their wealth. And that's all Ukraine has been for decades, for oligarchs. So Trump's doing something about it. Got to take a break. Got to pay some bills. The number is 1-888-367-5329. 1-888-367-5329. 1-888-367-5329. Let's talk about it. I'll be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4KFAX. That's 888-FORKFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
We are back. The time is 5:50 on the Monday edition of Lifeline. What say you? 1-888-367-5329. What say you? 1-888-367-5329 to give me a call. We'll have the whole second hour to get into this discourse more, but I wanted to put that in your hearing because it's important for you to know that very seldom do you have the curtains pulled back where you can see a policy agenda collapse right in front of your face. Now, this would have happened if they didn't allow the cameras, but Trump had to let the cameras in because he knew that you, most of you, don't know the stuff that I was sharing with you as a backdrop, backstory to why, you know, the left media is saying that Donald Trump was disrespectful and mean and harsh and dictatorial and tyrannical and all that other kind of pejorative against Zelensky. But when you know the backdrop that Zelensky is part of a longstanding hostility towards Trump, now you see why Trump did what he did. Now you see it. And if you don't, that's your fault, because you should see it. These men are being consistent in relationship to the welfare of America first, because the goal of the left is to take America down. Down. Let's go to line one and talk with James. I mean, Jermaine on line one. Jermaine, what's your thoughts?
I think you pretty much hit everything on the head. A lot of what we saw as far as pulling back the curtain, I think a lot of people were shocked. That's how a lot of negotiations actually go on that stage. And the reality is, without knowing the details and the particulars, you can come away kind of dated and biased by what you saw, because it was really like an hour of boredom and then 10 minutes of intensity. But without knowing all the details and the surrounding background information, yeah, you might come away thinking a certain kind of thing. But I personally think that Ukraine's been the biggest money laundering operation probably of our time, and it kind of got blown up.
Yep, I totally agree with you on that. I'm glad that you are able to see through it. What was fascinating to me, Jermaine, is how it was blown up in Trump's mind in his first term when he was trying to investigate Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. What's going on over in Ukraine that the president of the United States doesn't know anything about? And then the deep state engages in so much obstruction for the president, or at least when he was running, to try to find out what is Joe Biden up to. And Hillary Clinton gets in on it, and everybody talks about, you know, Russian propaganda, which are, you know, are sadly our American people, particularly on the left, buy into. He had to work with that throughout the whole administration. I'm sure he was getting data and feedback from good resources about what Ukraine was about. And here he is, president a second time, and that thing has blown up into a full-fledged slaughterhouse of millions of people on both sides. And he cannot any longer not look at it and not deal with it. It would have been one thing if it had gone away in Biden's term. But Biden was a loose cannon. He was a greedy politician. He was a wicked, traitorous president. And that's going to come out at some point in the future. He did not have the American interest in view. He certainly was a globalist. He certainly wants us to go to World War III. He has definitely bought into the doctrine of domination and hegemonic control on the part of America by any means necessary. And Kamala was ready to go in on it as well. And of course, Hillary wanted to be the big dog because she was part of it with Obama in Obama's term when they created all that mess in Libya. As you and I know, that we are working towards the Middle East, and we are working towards an establishment of Israel being the final pact before Armageddon. And so what Donald Trump is doing right now is absolutely is not only commendable, because I don't think he was that much out of control. I'm give you the last word here in a moment, but I don't think he was that much out of control. Neither do I think Vance was. And I'm so glad that Vance spoke up, because what Vance did was tell everybody, listen, Zelensky, not only are you an actor, a weak comedian, and from what most people know, a coke addict, not only are you bisexual or homosexual, flaming, but you're putting all of your acting skills out in front of the American people right now, and getting them to think somehow you're some calm, cool, collected, dignified neo-Churchill president that's just wanting to save your people, when we know nothing could be further from the truth. And this is why I'm glad to be speaking up on this one, because These are the diabolical things that go on in our nation, and the media is complicit with it as well. What say ye?
Yeah, I think for me, the most important part of that meeting, there were several, is the interaction between the vice president and President Zelensky. What triggered him is when he brought up people being, he used a euphemism, I guess he's a lawyer or somewhere. He said they were conscripted, which is basically another way of saying they're forcing people off the street to fight. When Zelensky was confronted with that, he did what made me think, hey, this is just a political show. He never answered the question. He just asked another question, and then he went on the attack. So when you start paying attention to those details, to me, I don't really trust anything I've heard, and I have to do my own homework, and I think other people would do well to do the same.
I just sent you guys over a presentation. It's only 10 minutes long, with video with video presentation of the Ukrainian president's army going out on the street, taking an old man and throwing him in a van to rush him off to fight in a war. Some European news outlet sent that out. And I sent out particularly the phrase, you better get this before they take it down. But then again, I heard it on a couple of other very prominent news outlets too. So it's already out that Zelensky, Ukraine. I mean, Donald Trump was so eloquent in this part of his expression. You can't win. You won't win. This war, for all intents and purposes, at this level, is over. Unless a bunch of people like the NATO alliance come in with their troops, Russia could finish them off in a couple of days very easily. And 70% of the people in Ukraine do not want Zelensky to remain president, because can you imagine living after 3 years with over a half a million just military people? I mean, a half a million of citizens and military people dying, laying in the fields. And Trump has explicitly stated this. This is what lets me know that Trump doesn't want war. He definitely doesn't want our American people on our soil, lying in the middle of the street because of a nuclear war or some kind of long-range missile conflict between us and Russia, because he would be a stupid hawk buying into a collective agenda for which the whole EU and NATO at present are deluded. This is what war does. It deludes you. It deludes you into thinking you got to win at any expense. This is a really tragic but necessary insight, and I'm glad God allowed it to happen. I'm looking forward, Jermaine, to tomorrow's presidential speech to the Congress, because he said he was going to be very open and very blunt about what's going down. And this is unusual for a president, but Donald Trump is in his final 4 years, you guys. And he's just got to be honest about it. There's no need for him to be coy or overly duplicitous, because ambiguation is the way politicians are when they are weak and effeminized. They don't know how to tell the truth. And Trump doesn't have to do it, because a good portion of the American people understand that stakes are high here, and it's necessary for him to speak to the nation while he's looking at Congress sitting there. And the vast majority of them are snakes. They're snakes. They're vipers. If not snakes and vipers, they are addicts of power and addicts of money and addicts of a delusional DEI, LGBTQ agenda for dominating and corrupting the world. And he knows that's not going to get it. I got to take a hard break. When I come back, I'll pick up James, then Dave, then Elisa. That means I'll have one line open, 1-888-367-5329, 1-888-367-5329. Thank you, Jermaine. We'll take a break and be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4KFAX. That's 888-FOR-KFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
All right, we are back. Time is 6:06 on the Monday edition of Lifeline. Let's go to line number two and talk with James. James, are you there?
Hey, PJ, I'm here. How you doing, brother?
Good. What's your thoughts?
Man, I mean, I think one of the things I wanted to bring up was you talked about the different clips you sent out. I was really interested in the one that I don't know his name. He was actually the one that was actually made his video from prison.
He's the highest voted for potential president in Ukraine. I forget his name, but he's in there because Zelensky put him in, which is what they do. If we could do it in America, they would have done it to other politicians as well, you know. But no, this brother's in prison, shooting that presentation from prison because he's hoping that if the war ceases in Ukraine, then just like Bibi, I just wrote these notes down. I'll let you finish your thoughts. I'm thinking Zelensky and Bibi got the same problem. If the war's in, then they're under criminal persecution. Prosecution, and they're definitely going to lose election, the next election. And this is why they both want to sustain the war, because it gives them a little longer time to continue doing what they're doing. But that brother from prison was certainly letting everyone know that what Trump was saying and what Vance was saying about the unpopularity of Zelensky in Ukraine is the truth, and that the main media legacy outlets are lying. Go ahead on.
And that's where I was going next. How do we get to the people that I really think that people that are mesmerized or mass formation, what you want to call it, really think that they're getting neutral news, media, news from the media, you know, media comes from the word medium, but, you know, it is unbiased media. I don't know how they could think that, but I just like the commercial that just preceded this, he coined it a disastrous meeting. The person that was, I don't know if you caught that, the disastrous meeting. I don't know if it was actually a disaster. I think it's what we all needed. We all needed, because people are portraying the whole meeting as what happened in the last meeting, not the whole 40 minutes went smooth. Then the last, you know, at the last, that's what happened. And everybody's weighing in on their opinions, and their opinions are being shaped by what they're hearing the people in the media say, and not even understand the media is biased. Well, as I'm concerned, the media is complicit. And if, to me, that could be addressed as treasonous as what they're doing in, you know, in government right now, because they're not reporting to us the truth.
I totally agree. And not only is the media an enemy of the people, it's an absolute enemy of the people. Being an arm of the neo-Pravda state, of the deep state. But so is Chuck Schumer and all the other Democrats that basically curried around Zelensky and told him, do not submit to a deal with Trump. They don't care who makes the deal. They just don't want Trump to make the deal. This is how maniacal and deranged the left is. They're still going after Trump. They're still going after him. And now Zelensky knows he was a stupid puppet of the left. They don't care about him. When they're done with him, he's going to end up dead. And again, the Trumpster told him this last week. You remember that? Listen, dude, you better get under the cover of our policy, because you're in trouble. You're not going to be around long. You have made major mistakes. You have engaged in all kind of criminal activity. You need to get under the umbrella of an agreement with the White House now. And now he knows, because his assertion that the left will take care of him, I mean, they're snakes. His assertion that the UK is going to take care of him, well, they're beholden to America too. And as soon as they don't need Zelensky for a talking point and for a photo op, which they're doing right now with all of these pictures of unity and talking about sending billions of dollars, et cetera, all that's going to go by the wayside, and they're going to shrink back into their little cubby holes of hypocrisy. But the sad thing about your idea, James, is that, you know, when people are not invested in the truth, and that's all you need people to do is be indifferent. I've said it before. The government doesn't care if you know, as long as it knows that you don't care. then it can get you at the emotional level. And so with propaganda, propaganda can drive you away from interest, or it can draw you into a misinformation campaign by which you don't come into the truth anyway. So you and I are going to constantly be dealing with what I call the fog of war, and we are in a propaganda war right now. This is why I told us, James, when Trump won in November, I said, listen, you guys, you can celebrate all you want. The war is just getting started. There's nothing to celebrate here. There's nothing to celebrate, only an opportunity to handle business in a bunch of ways. Now, it's going to be very hard, James, very hard for us to realize our objective of wanting people to see the truth. It's going to be very hard. You and I come upon this dilemma almost every time we talk. How do we help people come to a realization that if you are trapped by the left-right narrative, if your gospel is CNN, or for my right-wing brothers, Fox News, if your gospel are either one of them, you're never going to see the truth of the gospel. You're never going to understand the high view of things, and you're going to be disappointed somewhere down the line. I don't think we're going to overcome that. All we can do is try to communicate the truth and hope that, you know, from time to time, people open their eyes. What's your thoughts?
Well, I was going to say, that's what's more troubling to me than anything. It's one thing when everybody else is like that, but we have a manual, we have a Bible that tells us what we're supposed to do with all things concerning the truth. And that just goes back to how much we're not taught biblically. I mean, because we're just slightly in our Bibles, it gives us the tools to discern the truth from the lie. So I agree.
Except that in addition to that, of course, thy word is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my path. The path of the just is a shining light that shines more unto the perfect day. I'll unpack this on Sunday. Jesus said, follow me, I'm the light of the world. If any man follows me, he will not walk in darkness. But to walk in darkness on the part of people who are supposed to be the lampstand themselves is because of their naivete and lack of commitment to radical truth principles. And that's really what's going on here. I know they think, our brothers often think, they're committed to Jesus, but they're not radically committed to him enough, because if they looked carefully at the paradigm, Jesus was not a Republican, and he was not a Democrat. He was not of the school of the Shammai or the Hillel. He was not a Pharisee or a Sadducee. He was not a Zionist. That's why today they reject him and despise him. And so I'm saying the Christians that are trapped by politics cannot possibly go deep enough into the gospel to overcome the deception of 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. And so we, and when Jesus says those days will be so difficult with multiple factors playing a role in distracting people that even the very elect would be deceived, that means a lot of people are going to be deceived severely, some less severe, but deceived nevertheless. And walking in the truth requires a level of integrity to suffer. That's why the enemy kills people who are aletheia, to shut everybody else up. That's what we're dealing with, bro. God has to bring a level of difficulty and tribulation into our life for us to wake up to the diabolical scheme of the Truman Show called the world. Thanks for the call. Got to take a hard break. Two lines open. 1-888-367-5329. Two lines open. 1-888-367-5329. I'll be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4KFAX. That's 888-FORKFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
We are back. The time is 6:20 on the Monday edition of Lifeline. We are either on the brink of a very unusual realignment predicated upon a real substantial break with the global EU. We talked about this back in 2001 all the way to about 2008 or nine. I talked about goals 2000, Agenda 21 back then, and how corrupt the EU was in terms of its governmental policies. I didn't know back then how deeply similar it would be to the corruption here in America. It's worse there, like I stated. You guys got to take seriously the policies that are changing the whole orientation of men and women in America. This is something very important, because the goal of the globalists is not only to have a kind of singularity of rule over the world through a biosecurity state digital system, but in its agenda for transhumanism, which also means population control and the transformation of our genetic makeup. That's a whole another conversation. But one of the ways to begin to stave that off is to get back to a biblical worldview in terms of who God is and who we are. And if we don't take that seriously, we will still be deceived by the lie under terms like DEI, critical race theory, and the LGBTQIZ agenda of transforming the world into the image of the satanic Baphomet hybrid creature. Let me go to line number three and talk with Dave. Dave on line number three, what's your thoughts?
Hey, Pastor Jesse, how's it going?
I'm good, what's up, man?
Hey, I have three questions, if you allow, that give a little bit of qualifier for them.
Sure.
So my first question is, so Christians say, they explain God as basically like God in three persons, are revealed in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all God, but in three distinctive persons. But my question is, like, I've been reading the scriptures or hearing the scriptures, and when the disciples asked Jesus, show me the Father, he said, have I been with you so long, and you still ask to see the Father? And he said that one instance he said, me and my Father, we are one. And then another instance he said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. So would it be more, so my question is, would it be more, should we start saying that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit are one, they're one person, instead of saying, God is God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, three different people? That's question one. And then number two, my second question is, what's the difference between a person that live their whole life saying, I trust in Jesus, but they never change their ways. They never, like, they live however they want to live, but they say, I trusted Jesus from the thief that was on the cross when Jesus said that you would be with me in paradise this day. And then my last question is polygamy. I know that the Bible says that we're supposed to be a man of one wife, but then I know there's instances, and you spoke about this before, I remember you said, like, back in the day when there was like polygamy, there was for like kings and stuff, or people that held that region of king, like Abraham. He wasn't a king per se, but he was like in king status. So they were allowed to have more than wives because they were like kings, and kings could provide for all his wives and stuff like that. From now, how we are just one man, one woman today. So, how do we, speak against that in today's society? But I'll take all my answers off the air. Thank you, Pastor Jesse.
Your blessings. You got to go back, David, to all the series I've taught on the Trinity. So no, it is completely wrong. Oneness, Pentecostal, modalism, the notion that Jesus himself is the Father and the Spirit is a major conflict of what we call categorical distinction. And the grammar is explicit in the New Testament. So I'll just basically use a few of the verses you brought up when Jesus said to Nathaniel in John 14, it was Nathaniel or Philip, show us the Father. He says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Then you go from John 14 to John back to John 10, where Jesus says in John chapter 10, around verse 30, I and my Father are one. Well, John chapter 10, verse 30 does not say, I and my Father am one person. The grammar doesn't even justify that. The grammar clearly, explicitly speaks of Christ using what is called a plural noun when he says I, a plural verb, actually, eismen, is I and my Father are one in nature. Just like when the term is used concerning legion and Jesus says, what is your name? And the devil said, we are one. We are many, rather. We are Iceman. We are many, not we am one or we am many. We are many. And when Jesus says, I and my Father are one, he was not saying that he and the Father are the same person. That would be like him saying, I am the Father, which he never did ever say. And when you work through the scriptures very carefully, the subject-object distinction is absolutely critical. I mean, absolutely critical. It's not possible for the Father to talk to the Son and the Son to talk to the Father, and they be the same person without Christ having committed a major fraudulent ventriloquist act on us all, which that could never be the case, because the Father is held in the highest of views, speaking from heaven while Jesus is on earth, and then the third person being descending from heaven and abiding on Jesus. Trinitarian theology is explicitly one God in nature, three in person. They are a triune being. Now, this violates human categories because human beings are unipersonal. I am a person, you are a person. We are persons, but we are not one person. We are one humanity, and that's what Christ meant. We share a generic humanity, but we possess a numerical plurality. And so in our personhoods and in our physical corporal being. So it is true with the triune God. The mistake that people make is trying to limit God in terms of a kind of spatial category. So again, the Father doesn't have a body for which he can be limited in the scope of his person as God, one God. And then Jesus has a body so that he can be limited in the scope of his person as the second God. And the Holy Spirit have a body so that he can be limited in his spatial category as a third God. That would be tritheism. One God, the Father, one God, the Son, one God, the Holy Spirit. And we would depict them as being a limited, spatially defined entity. No, they're one divine, indivisible, infinite, limitless deity that constitute three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's part of the mystery of their triune nature. And if, in fact, you know, people don't understand that, you got to pray that through. But the scriptures give you those boundaries. They really do. There are many passages that underscore a Trinitarian framework. The moment you go into Unitarianism or monism or oneness Pentecostalism, you're going to destroy the integrity of the subject-object distinctions that the scripture makes in relationship to how the Father, the invisible God, is revealed by the visible Son. That's why he can say, if you have seen me, then you have comprehended the Father, because he is the revelation of the invisible God representatively, not in terms of his person being the Father. I know that's tough, but all you got to do is go back, call the office. They'll give you the gazillion studies on Trinitarian theology that will help you with that. Polygamy, simple. In the Old Testament, God tolerated it for the proliferation of the human race. It's still something that men do around the world. Muslims do it in many cultures and other folks as well. It's not the ideal, one man, one woman, before the fall. But after the fall, these accommodations have occurred. I got to take a hard break. Thank you for the call, my dear brother. Continue striving, because if you want to give an answer to someone, you got to be able to do it in a biblical way. When we come back, we'll talk with Elisa, and then we'll go to the other callers. We'll be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4KFAX. That's 888-FOR-KFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
We are back. The time is 6:35. Just before I go to Elisa, you cannot read the gospel or the New Testament epistles without a healthy understanding of Trinitarian theology, the ontological sameness of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is at the nature level. The distinction of persons is at the personality level. You confound the persons, you confound the doctrine. Jesus never said, I and the Father are the same person. They are always individuated. And whenever Paul sets forth the gospel in any epistle, you see a triune collaboration that is so explicit and so consistent that it brings integrity to the text in terms of subject-object relationships. For example, John chapter 10 says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. This is Jesus teaching. I know them and they follow me. Listen to this. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Personal pronoun, my hand. Watch this. My Father, which gave them to me. Now, what is he saying? My Father is another person who gave the elect, the sheep, to me. That's a subject-object relationship. There's no way you could ever say that the Father and Jesus are the same person. The Father gave to the Son. Father, subject, gave verb to the Son, object. The Son is the object of the action of the Father in giving us to the Son. If we wanted to confound grammar in terms of basic subject-object distinctions, we could say the Father and the Son are the same, and us, whom the Father gave to the Son, we're the same with the Father and the Son. As soon as you do that, you are disqualified from teaching biblical doctrine. Then Jesus goes on to say, my Father is greater than all, which he also says is greater than himself. And yet over in verse 30, as you had stated, over in verse 30, where you had stated, I and my Father are one. That's verse 30. They are not one person, they are one in purpose, one in scope and design. Just like the twain, the woman and the man shall become one flesh. So the Father and the Son are one in nature, distinct in person. It's the Father that gives the Son. The Son doesn't give the Father. If you don't maintain basic rules of grammar, you cannot teach the Bible. Let me go to line number four and talk with Elisa. Hi, Elisa.
Hi, Jesse. That's some good stuff.
What's your thoughts?
I kind of wanted to talk about that and not talk about other stuff I was going to talk about. It's so much more edifying talking about this stuff.
It's true.
But I will parlay. So much to say. I feel like what's happening right now is we're like in Vanity Fair, but not only is it a carnival 24/7. It's a carnival and it's Cirque du Soleil and it's, the greatest show on earth, Disney. There's so many, many boxes. And I'm feeling like a lot of them are fitting into the construct box. For instance, like there's all this emphasis on the Epstein files. I mean, we know that the Epstein names are going to come out because it's a construct. Okay.
That's right.
So That's just a distraction, I think, what it is. I think I'm feeling that's a distraction.
But before you go, because, you know, that's how we do, I'm going to just simply say that's a category. That's a category. Somebody was asking me that question on Friday. It has to be a category because some of us, Lisa, have to actually study that particular subject, that particular Truman Show, that particular episode, because there's things in that episode that we need to understand about the travesty of how the Wicked One actually exploits human beings at the behest of the elite. Some of us got to study that.
Okay.
Some of us got to study. So leave that with. What we want to do is leave that with people who need to study that, right? So God reveals that. So some of us can study that. Others of us can study it well, deconstruct it, organize it, and then disseminate the clarity from that particular episode, because there are people who need understanding as to why so many children are taken and sexualized and sacrificed and offered up for the powers of the elite. So we don't want to turn that into a blank episode. We want to say that's a relevant episode, but it may not be relevant for you or me, but it's relevant for someone. Go ahead on.
Okay, so help me out with this. So based on Epstein being a construct, because it's a number of factions that are, and he's the face of it. Can we make that category of the Epstein's files go into that construct?
Well, and now when you use the term construct, you have to have a nominative. You have to say what particular construct are we dealing with. Construct is not just like a generic term, because if we go that
money-making scheme.
So just call that a money-making construct. Okay, we can call it the honeypot.
Okay.
That's what some people call
the
it, right?
Pot. Okay, perfect.
That's the,
okay.
That's now, and the honeypot is a trap for certain kind of perverse people, and there are many different kinds of honeypots. This one here happens to be the honeypot that's set up by the CIA, the Mossad, and other people, you know, all the way up at the top, to compromise leaders so that they can manipulate and control them. You know that.
Indeed.
All right. Go to the next one. We only got 3 minutes.
In that category, or would it be Bill Barr? I mean, how bizarre is this? Bill Barr, which was, you know, Trump took on, was the teacher. He gave Epstein the job at this elite college. He was the dean of students.
Of course.
So it's just so everything is connecting, and it all connects. And
this is part of the matrix. You know this. You got this. I want you to be able to let the fog clear and keep them in their categories, because they are part. Yes, they are associated at the larger matrix level, right? You can sense that. That's what you're saying. They're connected. You take our Department of Justice and you take Bill Barr. We got many of them. They're all working together, because this is a controlling system that's designed to appear to be righteous. That's why God said in 1 John chapter 5, the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. And this is why, you know, you hear me and you know this. I'm talking lie, right? The lie. It's just that they are categorized, they are structured, they are organized, they are integrated. We talk about that terminology as well. And they are a system of perversion that basically governs this fallen world. And so, yes, all the way to the presidents, all the way to the monarchs, all the way to the princes in Saudi Arabia, all the way across the whole global system, the UA, the UK, every part of our world is dealing with that at some level, every part of that world. And they are also operating in contradiction to each other, because at the larger level, war is about conflict, and these conflicts are real. There's a real 500,000 people being killed on the part of the Ukraine's 500,000 people killed on the part of Russia. They are real human beings that are the collateral damage of these power constructs and power dynamics. They're real. And you and I, you know, we have to be caring about that. Got one more minute. Going on.
That's actually clear things out, because last week I felt like my head was filled with a ton of puzzle pieces.
Yeah.
And I knew how they were supposed to go in, but I couldn't organize it in a way. It was just so many. There's so much. It just blows my mind. There's so much.
And what you have so to do is ask.
I did the construct thing. So I did
okay, now the construct is. Yeah, the construct is good. You're doing fine. The construct is good. That's how we do the law of non-contradiction. The principle of law of non-contradiction gives us our boundaries. The boundaries gives us our categories. Like there are 8 billion people on the planet. 8 billion people, they say. We only know there are 2 genders, male and female. Probably like 3.5 billion men, and then 4.5 billion women or 5.5 billion women, because there are many more women to men. That's factually the case. And so it's filled with all of this integrated system as well, but we know we can reduce it down to 2 categories of the species. The species are human beings, male and female. And then we can break those categories down to children and adults. And then we can break those categories down into all of the other sociological and psychological categories for which this postmodern world wants to say that emotional categories, psychological categories are really ontological categories. Like I feel like I am a lesbian. I feel like I am a man. I feel like I'm a woman. I feel like I'm a dog. I feel like I'm a cat. Those are psychological categories. Those are not immutable attributes of our gender categories at all. But that's the battle that we're fighting. All right, sis, God bless you. Got to take a hard break when I come. We can catch up tomorrow. Got to take a hard break. Let me see here. Oh, I've got after Lisa, we got Leslie, I think. And then, no, we got Dreamer and then Leslie, I think. Anyhow, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
And now back to Lifeline.
All right, we are back and we are winding down. I would definitely encourage you to watch the Presidential Congress as the president speaks to the Congress tomorrow. Not sure what time it is, but I think it's like around 3 o'clock or whatever. I would definitely venture to watch it. A lot of presidential speeches to the Congress are just status quo, very dry and pedantic. But your president is dealing with a lot of evil in his administration in the Congress, a lot of evil. And he is the point man for pulling the lid off of a lot of this, and requires your prayers for sure for him to navigate through this. This is not going to be an easy 4 years for him. Believe it or not, you guys, people make a lot of money on running off at the mouth about the president. He's the most popular person on the planet. He's not the most powerful, so don't worship him. He can be controlled. He can be manipulated. He can be conned and deceived. He has been. His own sinful nature leads him sometimes to get borderline blasphemous. But that's true of you and me as well. But you want to watch him, because if you watch his cadence and the pattern of his approach to these matters, particularly publicly, I talked about this on Friday. I'll set this down before I take my final call for a few minutes. And that is, he's not the same as he was 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. After being the target of the deep state and the Department of Justice, as Andrew Tate talked about it today on Valuetainment with PDT, Patrick Bet Davis, PBD. To have the government go after you, a lot of people know what that's like. Our government in these areas are wicked. There's no doubt about it. Your Bible is right. David said it in Psalm 36:1 and in many other places. And when you read your Bible carefully, you don't fall prey to a faulty bifurcation. The wicked are inside of government and inside the church. frequently when David talked about the wicked, he wasn't talking about the goyim. He's talking about apostate Jews, apostate Hebrews, apostate worshipers of God, Israelites. This is what he's talking about, as it was in the days of Christ, as it was in the days of the apostles, as it was, as it is today. Most of your synod will call itself Christian of some form or another and engaging in this warcraft. The left would call itself Christian. Jesus doesn't mean much to these kind of people because they're in it for power and control. Now, I know a lot of you that are listening to me, you are professing to be real Christians. And so I want to appeal to you to make sure that you don't fall prey to politics. Vote, yes. Serve, yes. Engage, yes. I got plenty of family members in all these stratums, including military. But you got to have your eyes open and realize that you must submit to the word of God and the crown rights of Christ and go no further. Ask God to give you eyes to see, ears to hear, so that you're not deceived. All right, let me close. I got a few more minutes. Dreema, online too. You got 1 minute to make your observations. Oh, okay. Good. I'll close out. Everybody's gone. They all pulled out on me. I'm fine with that. I had a few more minutes. Oh, yeah. On tomorrow night, Tuesday, Bible study starts at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6. Wednesday, we will be back into our Zoom meeting. If you want to join our Zoom meetings, you may. gbchayward@gmail.com. gbchayward@gmail.com. And we will walk through our political melee. We'll walk through our larger geopolitical melees. We'll walk through the role and purpose of the church at large. It's priestly and prophetic. We are called to be a holy people, a holy nation, but not a fearful people or a carnal people. We're not called to be the world. We're not called to be the lapdog of the world or the government. The goal of the church is to bring the light of the truth of the word of God so broadly and so clearly that the church distinguishes itself from governmental systems at the allegiance level of Jesus Christ. So prophetically, you will hear faithful preachers call out our leaders, all of them, when it is necessary. You will also see and hear your faithful pastors and preachers pray for our leaders. We will not, like David said, put our hand to evil. Wickedness proceeds from the wicked. So when our leaders engage in wickedness, we know that they're not practicing children of God. We know that. And their policies are demonic and devilish. And the word of God would have us to abstain from that kind of participation. Pray for those that rule over us, but do not worship them as God. Don't pervert the gospel. Don't corrupt the word of God. Again, remain sanctified, set apart. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Best thing you can do for a bunch of power-hungry tyrants is tell them there's a God that rules over them, and they will have to answer to him one day. It's really true. Once we stop preaching the whole counsel of the word of God and stop setting forth the fear of the Lord, once we start kowtowing to the global agenda and plain left-right politics, which is where America is, we're going to be just like Europe in 5 years, a bunch of effeminate, weak, fearful, despotic sort of tyrants. You can be a tyrant and a feminist at the same time, rather than a godly man and godly woman. Paul to stand for righteousness, promote righteousness, preach and teach it and live it. Live out the claims of the gospel of the crown rights of Jesus. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. It's our goal and job to present to men the sovereign Lord of the universe in the person of Christ. So it's a joy being with you on this Monday. Again, try to watch, listen to the president tomorrow night. I'm going to be listening. I'll extract his points and talk about it tomorrow night in our class. And then we'll talk about it on Wednesday, because we got to keep up with what's going on. We are headed towards a development of new world order levels that definitely require us being sober, vigilant, and watchful, because our adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And those days will be so tribulous and so difficult that even the very elect will be deceived if it weren't for God's mercy. Until next time, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord give you his peace in his shalom, in his Yeshua, in his Asa, in his Jesus, Jesus the Christ.
Opinions expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily represent the views of the ownership, staff, or management of KFAX. Copyright Salem Communications, all rights reserved.